The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented in the public interest by the Beasley Broadcast Group. Each week we focus on a worthy organization and learn how you can lend support. And now, here are your hosts, veteran fundraiser and management consultant Ezra Creed and public relations consultant Ellen Shulman.
Good morning and welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits. We're sorry that Ellen Shulman wasn't able to join us today, but we're very excited to have one of the members of our team, Michael Farver, as one of our co-hosts. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Ezra.
And today we have a great show lined up. We're going to be talking to representatives of Covenant House Florida. I know when I came to South Florida in 1985, one of the first things that I heard about was this controversy about this place that was going to be opened on the beach that was going to draw kids from all over America to come and destroy our community. Well, thank goodness the organization survived that controversy, and thank goodness that today we have Covenant House Florida here. And we're very pleased to welcome Jim Guess, who's the executive director of Covenant House, to tell us more about it. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity.
So tell us about Covenant House. Where, you know, how did it begin, and what is it today?
Covenant House Florida is actually the Florida affiliate of an international organization that began almost 40 years ago in New York, and in 1985 came to Florida to serve runaway and homeless youth and kids who are at risk in this community. We opened a shelter in Fort Lauderdale after the controversy. Well, it didn't really go away. It just sort of allowed us to get ourselves started. And we've been serving the needs of young people in South Florida for this year marks our 26th year serving kids. We've served over 30,000 young people, different young people in our facility here.
Now, the 30,000 that you talk about, these are all runaway youth?
Some are runaway. If they're under the age of 18, they are sort of legally defined that way. Once they become 18, they're legally adults. And so they sort of, in our definitions, get classified as homeless youth as opposed to runaway youth.
Mm-hmm. And have all 30,000 stayed at the facility, or are there services that you provide outside, you know, to folks who are not staying there?
Yeah, and that 30,000 number include just is those young people who have come into our crisis center in Fort Lauderdale.
That's a lot of kids.
It absolutely is. I used to say I grew up in a town of 18,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And so now when I think about the fact that we could inhabit every home, apartment in my hometown with a young person who has been in need and came to Covenant House, Florida at some point over the last quarter of a century is a staggering thought to me.
And how do they come to Covenant House? Walk us through how somebody comes is in need in South Florida. How do they get to you?
Yeah, I think that the a couple of ways now that how young people find us are different than they were 25 years ago. Today, we're on Facebook. We're on the internet. And a lot of kids will, when they are in need, they will go on the internet and they will do a Google search for homeless shelter, Florida, and we come up. That's a huge way that young people find us. I was eating lunch one day, and I was sitting next to a group of kids at the next table, and I hear one of them go, "That's the guy." And I knew what that meant. They had seen my face on the website, and that was the connection. We have operated, one of the first programs that we started within our shelter was something called street outreach. And 5 days a week, we have two staff that are in a readily marked, easily identified van out on the street in Fort Lauderdale and South Florida, actually looking for places where young people may be who are homeless. So they are at the malls, they're at the train and bus stations. They scour the area looking for kids who are at risk and begin a conversation in hopes that if they are in need of a place to live, they'll come and stay at our shelter.
And all right, so you now shelter these kids. Obviously, you do much, much more.
Yes.
So what else is happening there for those kids?
When we first started this 26 plus years ago, we used to had a phrase, we called it three hots and a cot, and that was kind of how we started. It was a place to sleep, it was three good meals. But because so many of the kids that we've seen have needs, they have service needs, and either the services don't exist, or they're not, or they have a fee attached which our kids can't afford, or they have waiting lists that our kids can't work through. And so we began street outreach was first. But today, if you come through our place, you'll see a fully licensed inpatient substance abuse program available for our kids, family therapy available for our kids, a GED preparation program, help with getting a job. We call it job readiness training, how to do a resume, an application, how to interview, how to use the public transportation system to go find jobs. All those are the things that most of our kids are going to need, because returning home is not an option. That relationship is fractured. There's a dual lack of interest in reunification with the family. And so now for most of our kids, we're trying to get them ready to be able to take care of themselves and live independently.
Jim, I know you cannot quantify just what a typical kid you're dealing with is. They all have different problems. But they share, I think, a number of facts, a number of factors. Family situation, substance abuse, mental challenges. Can you elaborate a little on what you are facing in that?
We see a lot of kids that come from homes that are broken in some way. The relationships are strained. We see families who have within their constellation some abuse, neglect, domestic violence, substance abuse, mental illness. Now, in these last few years with this recession, we've actually seen an increase in the number of kids who are coming to us who are kind of saying, I was the odd one out. I was told, you can't stay because we don't have enough money to take care of you too, so you got to go find another place. And we've seen, over the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen increases in kids that tell us that part of their story.
How long do the young people, I keep saying kids, and but how long do the young people stay at your facility?
The statistical average ends up being about 3 weeks. But what I say is an average is a poor statistic to sort of paint the picture of what we do. Because if a 15-year-old girl came in this afternoon who had run away from her family in, let's say, Coral Springs, and by virtue of a phone call, we could get the family to come down and reunite them and send her home, that would statistically look like a one-day stay.
Right.
And you might say, well, what kind of impact? And I would argue that that's the best impact we could possibly hope for. At the other end of the spectrum, for a 20-year-old who can't go home, who now has to get a job, save enough money, learn the kind of life skills, you know, budgeting, bill paying, all that, to be able to take care of himself, that could be a six-month stay. So in that range, and some kids come in and are not ready to live within our program and structure, and they don't stay very long. So when you factor all that in and you do an average, it's about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But the story really is more accurately told in a sort of a case-by-case basis of kids that make it.
I know that in my work in homelessness, we had a recidivism rate, mm-hmm. you know, folks who came back.
Sure.
Does that happen also at Covenant House?
Yeah, I think quite a bit. I mean, with adolescents, oftentimes when they come to us, they're not sure we're what we appear to be. So they come in, they'll try it for a little bit, and they may leave. Or again, adolescents are impulsive mm-hmm. as a breed, so they may go out, try something on their own, have it not work, come back. And what we say to them is, you can come back as many times as you need to until you turn 21. That's kind of our cutoff. Mm-hmm. We won't take anyone into the program new if they're 21, but you can stay past your 21st birthday as long as you're working toward the completion of your plan and your goals.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way we've always tried to make that work for the kids.
And all the services you provide are free of charge to the young people?
Yes.
That's amazing.
It is. It's really one of the most amazing things to me that we're the only place I know where if you need family therapy, you can come and get it for free. You need substance abuse treatment, you can come and get it for free. Where else do you get that in South Florida if you're under the age of 21? Nowhere that I know, and I've been in this community a long time too.
Well, you're listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, and today we're speaking with representatives of Covenant House. To get more information on this terrific organization, please visit their website at www.covenanthouse.org or call 954-561-5559. Now let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Me, I started smoking when I was 13. I always thought when the time came, I could quit, no problem. Then at 28, I tried to go cold turkey and I found out how hard it really was. I made it all day without a smoke. Right until I met up with the guys. But I learned something that night. In fact, every time I tried to quit, there were more than a few. I learned a little more about what worked and what didn't work for me. And when I realized that I wasn't alone, that most people don't quit on their first or second attempt, I knew there was still hope. Today, I'm an ex-smoker. My only advice is to never, ever give up trying to quit.
If you're trying to quit smoking, the American Lung Association is here to help every step of the way. Visit quitterinyou.org for tools, tips, and stories from smokers we've helped to finally quit for good. The American Lung Association. We support the quitter in you at quitterinyou.org.
Don't miss Tom Sullivan at the Share the Vision Breakfast on Friday, October 21st at the Signature Grand, starting at 7:30. Hear how this world-famous motivational speaker, author, entertainer, and actor achieved greatness without vision. Order your tickets today and help the Lighthouse of Broward. Seats are $50 and can be ordered at blacktie-southflorida.com or by calling 954-463-4217.
Welcome back to the Forum for Nonprofits. Today we're speaking with representatives of Covenant House Florida. And we're really excited to have as our guest now Michelle Zimmer, who's a member of the board of directors of the organization. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning.
So, Michelle, you're involved with Covenant House. Why are you involved? What drew you to the organization? And what do you do as a board member?
Well, as a board member, I'm actually the president for the Young Professionals for Covenant House. We're an auxiliary group that raises funds for Covenant House Florida. And I got involved through a friend, didn't know anything about the organization, kind of got pulled in, hey, come to a meeting, see what it's about. And I stayed. So it was for the kids. And as you said earlier, young people, kids, in my mind, they're kids.
Okay.
So
you came to a meeting, a meeting of the young professionals.
It was a board meeting.
Okay.
And at the end of the meeting, everyone actually said, everyone vote if you want Michelle on the board. And they all voted yes.
And you were saying, who are you people?
Exactly. And I just got involved. We do a lot of fundraising events. We work with the kids in Covenant House like once a month. We do different activities with them. And just knowing what the organization is about and seeing them in that element just pulled me in.
Now, I have a bunch of questions now. First, tell me about the young professionals. Like if someone who's listening today wanted to be involved, how would they do that? And what would they be doing? You say you do fundraisers and so on. What do they do?
The young professionals is a group of quote unquote young professionals, but anyone over the age of 21 mm-hmm. that is willing to give some time, some money, obviously. And we do monthly activities with the kids at the shelter. We do monthly fundraising events at different restaurants, bars. We do a 5K annually. We have a signature event called Cranberry Jam every November, which is a huge event in various locations around Broward County. And it's all just to raise money. I mean, you can work on getting sponsorships. You can work on getting donations. You can just come and volunteer your time at check-in.
How big of an organization is the Young Professionals?
I would say we have over 1,500 members.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's terrific. Now you also serve on the board of directors.
I do.
What do you do as a member of the board?
We meet quarterly. I represent the young professionals on the board, so I give our updates on what we're doing and entice the other board members to come in. And we're always working on different events for Covenant House, making sure the donations are coming in, Jim's doing his job, the other board members are stepping in and making sure that we get the word out to the community. Because if we're not getting the word out, the donations aren't coming in. And that's really the thing that we need is for that to come in for the kids. And, getting sponsors on board, getting someone that doesn't know, just getting into their ear about it. And it's kind of that bright spot.
So you've been involved. How long have you been involved?
I've been involved for 5 years.
Okay. So in 5 years, you've had an opportunity to meet many of the children or young people who are being served by the organization. Is there somebody that kind of sticks in your mind or a situation that you felt like, this is why Covenant House exists. This is the reason we need to have a Covenant House in South Florida.
I would say they're all somebodies. Mm-hmm. There's one young man that I met about a year ago, and he was in the Rites to Passage program, which is he like lives on his own, independent living, and he has a job. He was getting a car. He had a roommate. It was just phenomenal what he did. And he was there to tell everyone his story and say, you could do it too. Mm-hmm. Sticks in my mind every single time.
So here was a success story.
Exactly.
Had he been at Covenant House for an extended period of time before, or?
He was in Covenant House for a while. I didn't get the entire story. Mm-hmm. He was just so excited that he was doing it on his own. And mm-hmm. he wanted to let everyone else there know that they could do it too.
Right.
And on the flip side of that, there was a young woman who had a child. I mean, the youth come in sometimes with babies, or, you know, they leave and then come back and they have babies, or, you know, 1-2-year-olds. And she had been, I think she said this was her third time, and she was going to make it happen for her child. Mm-hmm. And he said, you can do it.
And, oh, that's amazing. And mm-hmm. you know that through as a volunteer, you're able to affect their lives.
I hope I am.
Right.
I hope every single time I'm there with a smile that it happens.
Michelle, it's obvious your passion for what you do, and you're making a difference in the lives of so many. Let me ask you this. How has the time you've spent, the work you've done with Covenant House, changed you? What do you think its impact has been on you and your life?
I've always tried to give back. That's just how we were brought up. And doing this, I think that it's affected me that I always feel like I have to do more. And by more, I mean get more people involved. Make sure that the literature's out there. Any way I can slip it in, I slip it in. I slip it into my professional life, my personal life, and Covenant House is my life. You know, it's everywhere I go. How it's affected me, I mean, I get great pleasure out of it and then think, well, I just need to give that back.
So somebody who's listening this morning, what's your day job? What do you do?
I run a recreation division mm-hmm. for a city in Broward County.
So somebody who's listening today, who's a professional, who this isn't, you know, what they do, what would you say to them about why they should get involved with Covenant House?
I would say that, and I have said this to a lot of people, that there are runaway, homeless, at-risk youth for many reasons. But there's no one good reason why that should be.
That's very good.
And I tell them that. And my colleagues, you know, a lot of people do different organizations, different charities, and that is great. I want them to be involved in any way possible. Of course, I want them to be involved with my organization. And through the different charity events, the different networking events, you know, little by little, they leak in. Mm-hmm. And my thing is, if you can give 2 hours a month to come to a kids' fun night, if you can text in and donate $10 a month, do that. You know, sometimes you don't have to be there to be there.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned networking, and I wonder for especially in this economy and for people who are just getting started in our community, this might be a tough place to get started and get to know people mm-hmm. and so on. It sounds like from what you're saying that the Young Professionals Group is a great opportunity for that kind of person.
It is a great opportunity. We get a lot of people emailing just from the website. Hey, I'm new in the community. I just moved from New York. I just moved from Indiana. I just moved from Chicago. I saw your organization, a group of young professionals. When is your next event? How many business cards do I need to bring? Where is it located? You know, not only do we have the fun events, but we have them in fun locations where the event may be for 2 hours and then we go on to somewhere else. I always say, meet me at the check-in table. I'll introduce you around. You know, we have members that have been in the organization for, you know, 15 years, you know, 17 years. We're coming up on our 20th anniversary for Young Professionals. So, and people will say, oh, I remember that. I was in it when I was... Well, then they go, well, I don't want to tell you how old I was. So it's a great networking opportunity. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have everyone from bankers to lawyers to waitresses. I mean, anyone who wants to be involved can be involved.
And what sounds great about what you're saying is that you can be involved both on the fundraising side, but you can also have hands-on experience helping young people, establishing a relationship with someone in need.
Exactly.
And making a difference. Well, this is truly a great organization. You're listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, and today we're speaking with representatives of Covenant House. For more information, please visit their website at www.covenanthouse.com. www.youngprofessionalsinthebusiness.org or call 954-561-5559. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
The American Cancer Society is encouraging you to put on your pink bra at this year's 10th annual Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk in South Palm Beach County. This non-competitive fundraising 5K walk raises money to fund breast cancer research and educate the community about the importance of early detection and prevention. Come join a sea of breast cancer survivors, caregivers, and participants as they show their support for the fight against breast cancer on Saturday, October 22nd at Meisner Amphitheater in Boca Raton. Registration starts at 7 a.m. and the walk begins at 8:30. For more information about sponsorships, signing up your team, and or volunteer opportunities, please call the American Cancer Society, South Palm Beach Unit at 561-394-7751. That's 561-394-7751. Or go to putonyourpinkbra.com/Boca Raton.
Two kids, one paycheck. But I'm still going to send them to college. With Sam, I can.
Business has fallen off at work, but I'm getting prepared for whatever the future holds. With Sam, I can.
I missed a mortgage payment, but now I'm turning things around. With Sam, I can.
Making ends meet on a tight budget, coping with job loss, struggling with overwhelming credit card bills. Whatever your financial challenge, with Sam, you can. Sam is smart about money, a free online resource from the National Endowment for Financial Education. We're an independent nonprofit foundation dedicated to helping people just like you get sound information about money. From everything from how to build an emergency fund to how to deal with job uncertainty, just remember, Sam, I can. SamICan.org.
I'm going to feel in control again. With Sam, I can.
Get empowered. Reach your financial goals. Visit SamICan.org.
You're listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, and today we're speaking with representatives of Covenant House. We now have Jim back with us to tell us a little bit about how you can help. What can you do, those who are listening to us today, to make this, to help make Covenant House provide the services it needs to provide and does so well in our community? So, Jim, tell us, what can I do if I want to get involved?
Well, the first thing that I want to say is one of the wonderful, unique things about Covenant House is that it is very much a community-driven program in terms of its support. We rely on private individuals to be really the financial backbone of our funding. And so that's been our legacy for over a quarter of a century here in Florida. But it's an opportunity for people that want to get involved and to support us financially. That can be done through our website. That can be done through, obviously, just simply writing a check. You can go onto the website, do the donate now, do a credit card. Michelle mentioned we have a mobile texting opportunity for people that want to do a small gift. So our needs are obviously financial. The biggest part of our budget is people. And so that requires a financial commitment. But we have this incredible core of volunteers, and we have so many opportunities for volunteers within our operation. People can do everything from work in the kitchen preparing what we call bag lunches, which they take out on street outreach and kids take when they go to work. There's opportunities to tutor in our GED program, and there are opportunities to work directly with the kids in the shelter for a couple hours a week. We have a volunteer coordinator who meets with prospective volunteers, interviews them, tries to match them up in an appropriate place. And if anybody's interested, again, there's a place on our website where you can actually download a volunteer application, fill it out, send it in, start that process. And the other thing is are some of the events that we do to not only to hopefully raise money, but also to raise awareness and to keep our name in front of people in this community. We have an annual event that we just recently started. We call the Night of Broadway Stars. This is something that Covenant House in some of the sites in the Northeast have had a great deal of success with. We have a relationship. Covenant House has a relationship with a Broadway producer named Neil Berg. And he brings to Fort Lauderdale once a year a group of actual Broadway performers. This is not sound alike. This is the real deal. Wow. And they will perform numbers from shows that they have been in and that everybody knows, and that's really cool. But the really, really cool part is some of our kids get involved. Neil actually comes down a day before and works with maybe 8 or 10 of our kids and gets them, teaches them a number, a Broadway number. And so they actually get to do a number on stage themselves and with the performers. And if you have a dry eye by the time that's over, then you weren't breathing when you walked in the room, as far as I'm concerned, because it's powerful.
Jim, I noticed that in addition to the opportunities you already discussed, there are a few other needs, even basic needs, personal hygiene items, educational materials, baby items, gift cards, opportunities for people to participate in a variety of ways to assist the work you do.
Absolutely. We accept everything from hygiene supplies to people's good condition used clothing. A lot of times, literally, kids come in with nothing more than what they have on their back because they left a bad situation right now, and this is all they have. And so we have love to get donations of clothing. Again, if it's slightly used, you know that term. And in particular, for kids, our kids that are going to go out and get jobs, they really need job-searching kind of attire. Mm-hmm. That's a little harder to come by, especially for the girls. So we're always looking for those kinds of donations. Gift cards help us out a great deal at Christmas, as well as with some of the specific needs that kids have.
So there's lots of ways to help.
Absolutely.
And we encourage you to please get in touch with these folks. You've been listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, and we've been talking to representatives of Covenant House. For more information, please visit their website at covenanthouse.org or call 954-561-5559. From Michael Farver, this is Ezra Krieg, thanking you for listening to the Forum for Nonprofits.
Thank you for listening to the Forum for Nonprofits. We hope this week's worthy organization inspired you to get involved and give back. The Forum is produced by Ezra Krieg, senior consultant with Kreisenberg LLC, and Ellen Shulman, president of Ellen Shulman Public Relations. Find out more on forumfornonprofits.org. This program is a public affairs presentation of the Beasley Broadcast Group. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.